Florence picked up his nan, Ethel, from her nursing home, and she began with the usual, "This might be my last Christmas," before inviting herself for Christmas next year, and Easter, and Mother's Day. Daniel was working late, the curtain didn't come down on his pantomime till 11, so to inject a little Christmas cheer into the house, Rosencrantz, Ethel, Merrill and myself decorated the tree in the living room. Tony spent an age piling logs and newspaper in the fireplace, which at the touch of a match sprung into a roaring, crackling fire. He excused himself when the decorating became competitive. We were divided into two camps, style-wise. Ethel and Merrill favoured an all-silver display of baubles, whereas I wanted my usual array of multicoloured baubles, tinsel, and the cross-eyed cotton-wool bearded Father Christmas Rosencrantz made from bog rolls as a child. It was an exhausting series of compromises, with no one wanting to spark a row so early. They are here for a week. I wish I had the guts to say, "Back off, bitches." However, I didn't. So we decorated one side of the tree silver and the other multicoloured, with an agreement it would be rotated daily. Rosencrantz sensibly joined Tony outside in the garden and helped him oil the tandem. Christmas Day seemed to begin with promise. I had been worried about having to cook lunch, but I had a surprising saviour in the shape of our new Sky Plus box and HD television. If it were not for them, I would have had much more criticism over my choice to serve individual bird's-eye turkey dinners. Thankfully, the hubbub surrounding the 62-inch flat screen and its surround sound speakers drowned out the ping of the microwave. Ethel was further diverted when Rosencrantz told her we had bought the box and TV using the advance for my novel, Chasing Diana Spencer. She couldn't believe that I had been paid for that rubbish. Still, it all covered up quite nicely the fact that I can't cook. My presents were as follows. 1. Marlborough Lights. I don't know which is sadder, the fact that my son bought me 400 fags for Christmas, or the fact I asked for them. 2. A pair of Spanx, which are giant stomach-flattening, arse-reducing, thigh-squashing mega-knickers. I got quite excited. I've heard great things about them from Mr. Gok Wan. Then Ethel explained where she'd acquired my present. From a friend at her nursing home whose overweight daughter had just died in a car crash. "She don't need them now," she'd said. 3. 3 pairs of thick black tights and a can of wasp killer, taped together as a set. "They're for your varicose veins," explained Merrill in a stage whisper over the airborne wrapping paper. I presume she meant the tights. 4. An iPhone. I will come back to this in a minute. 5. Your gift, the complete Sopranos box set, was wonderful, thank you. I told Rosencrantz I would now be able to join in with all the people raving on about how gritty and dark it is. "Mother, we've, like, moved on," he said, rolling his eyes. "The Sopranos is so, like, 2007. 6. Chanel No. 5 from Marika. I still can't reach Marika to wish her a Merry Christmas. Can you? Phone lines must be down. Slovakia is in the grip of a massive blizzard. Merrill and Tony gave Rosencrantz the Dangerous Book for Boys, which is lazy gift-giving if you ask me. Its point of sale in almost every supermarket thus required no effort on their part. Ethel took one look at it and said, "He's 19 years old. It's not trees he's going to be going up," before handing over her gift, a Durex Vibrations fun pack. Merrill looked horrified. "Well, he's a good-looking gay lad," said Ethel. "My present will keep him safer than your present." She had a point. Tony blushed violently and said he'd fetch more Bucks Fizz. I gave everyone signed copies of Chasing Diana Spencer, since they've been too tight to actually buy it. M&T put on a good show of overexcitement. Ethel just dropped hers in her handbag without a glance at what I'd written inside. She was more interested in the book M&T had bought her, the number one bestseller window box winemaking. "Did you know her and Coco have the same literal agent?" said Ethel, pointing to the overly grand cover picture of its author, Regina Battenberg. "Oh, we love Regina Battenberg," said Merrill.
"She was a scream on Jonathan Ross last week," said Tony. "Really gave him a run for his money."
"Have you met her, Coco?" asked Merrill in an awed tone.
I said we had been in the same branch of Waterstones for our book signings.